God, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Come, let us worship the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight.
O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
The heavens declare the glory of God.
And the sky above proclaims his handiwork.
Day to day pours out speech.
And night to night reveals knowledge.
There is no speech, nor are there words. Their measuring line goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world.
In them he has set a tent for the Son.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 49. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, It is too late a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and rise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. But thou, O Lord, have mercy on us. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gifts. As you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Praise the Lord, all nations. For great is his steadfast love toward us. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Here endeth the gospel.
Thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. children will come forward for the children's choir. Continue with the hymn.
Thank you.
the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Psalm 19, verse 14, in the antiphon of our intro this morning, reads, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." This is the verse which we physically pray when we cross ourselves over mind, lips, and heart before reading the gospel text at the lectern. And how fitting a theme verse it is for this, the second Sunday after the Epiphany. Epiphany, like all other seasons of the church year, has its own themes and characteristics. While Christmas focuses on the miracle of the incarnation, Epiphany focuses on the manifestation of that miracle. And that's simply what the word Epiphany means. It means manifestation. In the Eastern Church, the season is called by perhaps an even better name, the season of Theophany. The season when we focus on the revelation of God in human flesh. Epiphany focuses on the way in which Emmanuel, God with us, the Lord Jesus, is made known to us. This morning we will see how Christ is made known to us today, but first our introit also proclaims, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." On one level we see that the psalmist teaches that creation itself is an epiphany. It makes God manifest, makes him known to us. The psalmist exalts that the beauty, the magnificence, the sheer size and vastness of the creation glorifies God as the creator. By its own grandeur, it displays the far greater majesty of the one who made it. And this is certainly true. Who has not, at least at one point in their life, sat out under the stars and marveled in awe and wonder? So it is that St. Paul says, God's invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. And yet, despite the grandeur of creation, and despite its size, and despite the majesty of the sky, which all points to God's power and might, this is not the ultimate manifestation of God's glory. The psalmist prays, "Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name." God's glory is not first and foremost in his might or his power, but in his work of salvation. To look upon the glory of God is to see God, and to look upon the glory of God is not like looking into the sun without sunglasses, but it is like looking at the face of Jesus crucified on the cross. For God has covered his glory in the human flesh of Jesus so that we might look upon him and be saved. Indeed, the Holy Scriptures proclaim Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us, in whom God has come for our salvation. What could possibly be more glorious? What could give us more reason to glorify him other than the fact that he is not only our creator, but also our redeemer? And that he saves us, he redeems us without any of our own work and solely by his own grace and his work. Thus the Apostle Paul declares, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. If we boast, we may only boast in the work of God. We can glorify in him alone. Christ's glory is in this, that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Indeed, Scripture proclaims that Jesus is crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone." God's glory, ultimately, is not in his power and his might, that he can smite a rebel easier than you can smite an ant. That is certainly true, he can do that. But his glory is inversely in his weakness in Christ, that our Lord Christ took on human flesh so that he could be smote for the sake of our sins, so that he could taste death for everyone. Indeed, Jesus Christ himself says during the Last Supper, right before his betrayal and crucifixion. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Not in his power is he glorified, although indeed he has all power. But now in his death for sinners, Jesus is glorified, and the Father is glorified in him. And so it is during this Epiphany season when we look for the manifestation of God, we must keep our eyes fixated on the Lord Jesus, who is the manifestation of God in the flesh. And the words of the psalmist, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork," takes on a second meaning for us. Yes, the majesty of the sun and of the moon and of the planets and the countless stars above proclaim the glory of the Creator. But they also proclaim the glory of the incarnate God. The star that shone in heaven proclaimed to the Magi that a child was born, that Christ the King had come, and it called them forth. It called them to come and pay homage and worship the Lord God Almighty in a child's frame. And last week we heard how at the baptism of Jesus, the heavens were opened, the Spirit descended from above like a dove, and the Father's voice boomed from heaven. "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." He had come to the start of his ministry, he had come to fulfill all righteousness. And the heavens proclaimed the glory of God manifested in Jesus. But in our gospel reading, we do not have a star shining in the sky. We do not have the clouds parting. We do not have the Spirit descending. We do not have the Father's voice. Instead, it is the day after Jesus' baptism, and we have the voice of John the Baptist, who bore witness to these things and declares, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me,' because he was before me." Not that Jesus was born before John. John is 6 months older than Christ, according to the flesh. John says he was born before me, that he was before me, because while Jesus might be younger than John, according to his humanity, according to his divinity, he is eternal. With his voice, John proclaims the glory of God in Christ Jesus, both in terms of his eternal power, saying, "He was before me," and also in terms of his salvific work, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In John's words, Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, is made manifest to all who heard him. His glory is revealed to those who hear and to those who believe. And so John not only baptized Jesus so that the heavens might proclaim his glory, he not only points to Jesus and bears witness to what he saw, but he continually proclaims Christ. Not just the day after the baptism, but he continually does so even the next day. John proclaims, "Behold the Lamb of God," and upon hearing this, two of John's own disciples turned aside and followed Jesus, one of whom was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. And Andrew, much like his teacher John, also proclaimed Jesus. He goes and finds his brother, for in Jesus he had seen the glory of God, and he could not keep that glory to himself. He says to Peter, "We have found the Messiah," which brings us full circle back to the antiphon of our introit. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." During his earthly ministry, the heavens declared him. Through his miracles, Jesus testified to himself. He was made manifest to those who saw him by his authority over the demons, by his authority over the winds and the wave, and in his transfiguration. But to most of us, the Lord, the rock of our salvation, our Redeemer, is made manifest by his word. It is the word of Holy Scripture and the Holy Spirit working through it, which makes him manifest to us this morning. Through the Scriptures, John the Baptist still points and proclaims, "Behold the Lamb of God." Through the scriptures, Andrew bids us and invites us, come and see, we have found the Messiah. Through the scriptures, Peter still proclaims that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And let it then be, let the meditations of our hearts be upon that word, which presents to us the glory of God in Christ, who died for sinners and is risen for sinners. And let the words of our mouth be pleasing in the sight of the Lord, because they proclaim that Jesus has died for sinners. Let the gospel be upon our lips, so that Emmanuel might be made manifest to all of our neighbors, our friends, and our family, and God be glorified in him. Amen. The ushers may come forward to receive the offering. We sing the Te Deum.
Thank you.
You may be seated. And this last week, we elected new congregational officers. We will do the installation this morning. Please come forward and step to the front of the chancel at the bottom step when I read your name. To the position of elder, Kevin Grody has been elected. To the position of deacon, Davida Rowe. To the position of trustee, Robert Ream and Tony Heckler. To the position of assistant deacon, Matt Manley. To the position of chairman, Tony Etzler. To the Board of Christian Education, Kendall Hall. To the Cemetery Committee, David Ream. To the Stewardship Committee, David Shum, Haley Lewis, and Karen Shum. To the Endowment Committee, Brent Baker and Tanner Matthews. And am I missing someone? Did I miss someone's name on there? Is there three on the Endowment Committee? No, only two. Okay. And then the ushers for the Board of Ushers do not have to come up, but their names are Matt Manley, Matt Schwartz, Robert Ream, Brett Shum, Owen Heckler, Chad Dietrich, Ryan Becker, Gregory Ream, Cale Rowe, and Kenton Rowe. Dear brothers and sisters, you have been elected in a regular meeting of this congregation as church officers. As such, you are to be associated with me, the called minister of the word, in order to do the work of building the kingdom of God among us. You are to see that the services of God's house be held regularly and conducted decently and in order, that the gospel be preached in its purity, in accordance with the sound Lutheran faith, that the necessary provisions be made for the instruction of the young, that the Christian discipline might be maintained. You are to administer the temporal affairs of the congregation, keep its property in good repair, and provide for the pastor's support and for all other necessary expenses. You are to assist the pastor in the care of the sick and the needy, in cultivation of peace, harmony, and love among the members, in the promotion of the general welfare of the congregation, and in the furtherance of Christ's kingdom at home and abroad. You are also, as servants of Christ and officers of his church, to set your own household and the whole congregation the example of a devout Christian life, in order then that the congregation may be assured of your willingness to serve. I ask you, in the presence of God and of this congregation, will you dutifully and faithfully perform the duties of your office in conformity with the ordinances of God, the confession of our church, and the constitution of this congregation, according to the ability which God giveth? If so, answer, yes, with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Whereas you have made this solemn promise, I herewith commit to you the exercise of this office to which you have been elected. I charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of his church, of which he is the head, that you will give all diligence to perform your manifold duties with untiring faithfulness and constant solicitude, as you will desire to have done when you shall be called to give an account of your stewardship. Make the word of God your guide and search it daily for instruction. And to that end, that your ministrations may serve for the glory of God, the best interest of the congregation, and your own great joy, may God, without whom we can do nothing, plentifully endow you with his grace and bless abundantly all your faithful labors. Let us pray. O most merciful and gracious God, who art an ever-present witness of all our promises and vows, we beseech thee, for Jesus Christ's sake, send down thy Holy Spirit upon these thy servants, that they may discharge their duties with diligence, steadfastness, boldness, and wisdom. Grant them, in particular, the spirit of devotion and prayer,
that in every time of need they may by prayer and supplication make their requests for the church known to thee, and in this house lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Enable them in all things to show themselves patterns of good works, that by their lives they may edify thy congregation, and that the enemies of thy church may find no ground for complaint. Set them for a blessing to thy believers. Keep them in sincere harmony with their pastor, and grant that all by their service the unity of this congregation may be strengthened, that thy name may be hallowed, thy kingdom enlarged, thy will done, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. Go then, dear brothers and sisters, as ye have been called. Be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord's day, depart in peace. We herewith take occasion in the name of the congregation to tender our hearty thanks to those brethren who in the past year have served as officers of the church. May the Lord our God graciously reward them for their service done for his glory in the interest of our church. We continue now with the prayers of the church. Please rise.
O Lord, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Answer us according to your promises, and for the sake of Jesus Christ, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful God, you formed your Son in the womb of your servant Mary to be a light for the nations. Preserve that light among your people. Gather us around your word and sacraments, enlighten and strengthen us by your grace, and grant that we might reflect the light of Christ to those around us. Bless the Reverend David and his wife Barbara, that Christ might be manifest to the people in Taiwan. Lord, in your mercy. God of glory, the heavens declare your handiwork, and each day and night testify to your majesty. Bless all teachers and students, that in their explorations of the arts and sciences, they may see your majesty and glorify you. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you watched over the tribes of Jacob, providing them both daily bread and redemption in abundant measure. Watch over the homes of your people. Bless them with all that they need for this body and life, and preserve them in the glad confidence that Christ is their strength and their salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, your Son consented to be the servant of rulers and to be abhorred by the nations so that he might redeem the world. Fortify all in authority with courage and wisdom to govern justly and cultivate penitent hearts among them so that they may gladly prostrate themselves before their Redeemer on the last day. Protect Sean, Austin, and Thomas as they serve in the armed forces. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, your Son became the Lamb of God to take away all of our sins and infirmities by his death and resurrection. Remember all who are in need of your help and healing and comfort, especially Harold, Esther, Amy, Kathy, Aubrey, Barbara, Charlotte, Maya, Wanda, Kenny, and Patricia. Deliver them according to your merciful will, and preserve them in the certainty that their sins are taken away. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that we who have celebrated the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ may die to sin and rise to new life, that we may treasure up and ponder in our hearts the Christ announced by your forerunner. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by thy governance may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with you all.
Thank you.
you all for joining us this Sunday in Epiphany as we meditate on the word of Christ, which makes him manifest for us. A couple announcements. We have an insert which tells you about the Decatur Lutheran Bible Institute, which will be beginning January 24th and follow for another few weeks. That is a great opportunity to learn more about a specific topic. It's quite cheap, only $10 per adult, and it's one of those really cool things that the laymen in Decatur do each year. They have a couple pastors and a couple professors from the seminary come and teach to get more in-depth. They're 2-hour sessions and 4 sessions on top of that. I was actually supposed to teach one this year. They asked me to. I said I was too busy at the moment, but in future years, I'll be doing one, hopefully. And so look at that. See if any of the topics look interesting. If they do, please register and attend that. It's highly encouraged. Next Sunday, January 22nd, will be Life Sunday. And we will be having a carry-in potluck. The ladies' aid will furnish meat and drink and dinnerware. So please plan to bring some delicious food and attend that as we reflect next week on the importance of life and God's protection of it, particularly in our culture where abortion is so common and euthanasia is becoming more and more common and that sort of thing. And we have the Higher Kids Youth Gathering. Again, let me know if you're interested in that. And I think that's it for announcements for the church.
Okay, depart in peace.